2-2. Swinging a long fly ball up the left field line. If it's fair, it's gone. It is gone! The second home run this afternoon by Teoscar Hernandez. Each of them incredibly impressive. Field one. Swinging a long fly ball. Deep left field. That's a no-doubter! Second deck for Whit Merrifield.
I still got something in the tank. It's nice to be playing well towards the end, and this is a big series for us. We got a big series coming to Baltimore, so we want to get back here for the wild card game.
See y'all Friday.
See y'all Friday, Whit Merrifield. He's putting it in the universe. He's manifesting it, and we're close, Blue Jays fans. We're more likely to than not have wild card action this Friday night at the Rogers Center. It's the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish, coming off a hell of a good weekend for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, that was definitely the vibe on Friday. Was it Friday that Whit said that? No, it was Sunday. Sunday he said that.
I was there. I watched him speak it into existence.
It looks like they do a really good job with that. Everyone can hear it.
It's so cool. Post game, Hazel
takes her time. It takes something to do that well. And Hazel does it really well.
She's the best of the best. Like, you saw her Friday night after the parties. We got so much to get into. The Blue Jays play better baseball hungover than the Red Sox could muster on years of rest.
They played shockingly well on Saturday.
It was
especially when all the images are coming out. We're sending images back and forth. And we're like, well, I'm on the Sox today. No, it was not a problem. The Sox weren't a problem all year, but they certainly weren't a problem over the weekend. And that, we'll see you Friday. That was what the weekend was all about. Mm-hmm. The following Friday. And that was intentional, obviously, from Whit, and well played on his part. But there's still a little bit of work to be done. But the perfect, perfect weekend for the Blue Jays.
Couldn't ask for anything else. They set up their pitching rotation to be elite, and they were just as that. They had bottom of the lineup contributions. Whit Merrifield, number one Blue Jays player of all time, stepping in. Mm-hmm. A tiny concern with Gausman's finger leaving yesterday's game, but enough so that the post-game stuff is like, he's fine. We're maintaining. We would like him to play in the playoffs.
Still, my immediate reaction there was like, okay, does this change anything when the playoffs roll around? Just in terms of order. Like, maybe Gausman has to go third instead of second?
Depends if you win the first game.
But again, yeah, that's, they don't think it's going to be an issue. It seems like it's something he just constantly deals with. A little laser treatment. I'm sure that'll be effective. And then Gausman should be fine. But more importantly, Schneider doesn't think it's going to be an issue. Little harrowing to see him having to leave a game.
Yeah.
Of course, in such a big spot of the year. His final start.
Maintain. Put people in bubble wrap. So the Blue Jays, here's the situation here. I'm not good at math. I'm like when Michael
you're
Scott says,
for this year.
Michael Scott says, explain this to me like I'm five. That's
you like fixed
me.
Your posture like you're like your whole body needs to be.
I'm ready to explain this to listeners, though. Yesterday, the Jays won and the Rays lost. The Blue Jays can now no longer finish lower than second in the wild card standings, meaning there are three possible scenarios for you all. They play home versus the Mariners, play home versus the Rays, mm-hmm. or they play away versus the Mariners. Those are the only three situations remaining for your Toronto Blue Jays.
Now, the most likely by far is home versus the Mariners, correct?
Home versus the Mariners, which I would be certainly very pleased with.
All right, will you be?
I would be very happy with that. Okay, home in general, boom, yes.
Home in general, of course, but the perfect scenario, do you want to do your perfect scenario now?
I'm okay with Seattle.
I'd rather the Rays, which is crazy. I think it's
give
like
me reasons why.
Like, if you told me this, just in general, like it didn't the not out of the, outside the context of the season, you want Rays or Mariners? I would say Mariners every single time. But I feel like the Mariners rather have a little of that like pixie dust thing going. Mm-hmm. They have that memorable walk off to close a 21-year drought. They've got a little bit of that like, oh, we're that special team right now. I don't think the pitching is quite as good, like top end of the rotation, and that's more important. But if it gets kind of hairy, tied game two late, having to go to game three. Maybe it's tied in game three and you're into like the reserves rather than just the starters. I think they have a little bit more quality starting pitching. So they might be able to outlast the Blue Jays if they don't, if the Blue Jays don't get it done early. But either way, you just need to be at home. And it all it takes is, what, one more victory? One more victory for the Blue Jays and one more loss for the Seattle Mariners?
If the Blue Jays go 1-2 on this three-game stretch, mm-hmm. the Mariners need to go 4-0.
Right.
The Blue Jays go 2-1, no problem. 3-0, no problem.
So you're waiting for one Mariners loss, or you can just handle your own business. Be nice if they got the win today and just move forward.
Okay, so I'm okay with playing, well, this is the reasons why I feel okay with playing Seattle. Tampa is very well in terms of experience. They have lots of postseason experience. This is the first year time in 21 years that the Seattle Mariners have made the postseason.
But like, how much does that history
matter? Well, I think it matters a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for anything here, Justin.
Right.
Tampa's really well managed. They know how to win in late games. We've seen them. They have the ability to find a way.
Right.
Tampa's below 500 on the road this year. Give you that stat, though. And Seattle's pretty much dead even home and away. I would say that it'd be more fun to play Seattle because they have good pitching. Both sides are electric top three pitchers. I think it'll be pretty even. You got mm-hmm. Castillo, Gilbert, and Ray. Robbie Ray back in Toronto. That would be a part of the narrative, which would be fun. Mm-hmm. They got good pitching, great offense. Fun to play against. Tampa's strategy, situation hitting, small ball, boring.
I feel like the Rays are more of like the natural foil to the Blue Jays mm-hmm. in that they do things the opposite way, but maybe quote-unquote like the right baseball way, where it's like they're going to play defense to death and never make a mistake, and that's going to be frustrating. I feel like it's a bit of a mirror match between the Jays and Seattle, and mm-hmm. I guess in a mirror match you'd feel comfortable at home and having your rotation set up and all that stuff. Like, it's just like Tampa could frustrate the hell out of you, and then it would just be awful. It would be awful to lose to the Rays just because you could see how it would happen. I do think the Mariners are a little bit more dangerous, though, like outside of the context of the Tampa Bay Ray lore.
But you got to beat the hard teams to get to Houston. Houston just looks like an inevitable brick wall you're going to run into.
You got to beat a good team before you run into the brick wall, yeah. Like, not to get too negative, but the reason why the Tampa Bay Rays have slipped to the spot that they're in is because they just got shellacked by the Houston Astros, who are...
scary.
Terrifying. But it's not a problem yet.
So this is all to be confirmed, but as we said, most likely situation. Jays, Mariners at home. Text in 590-590 all day today. Tweet us, whatever, Instagram us, who your preferred matchup is. Let's say you get to choose between Mariners at home or Rays at home. Who are you selecting and why? We'll read those throughout the day. 590-590. As we said, Blue Jays, perfect weekend, really, against the Red Sox. 16-3 in terms of their record versus Boston this year. Basically,
I ever thought I'd see that.
Nope. Basically, the reason the Boston Red Sox aren't in a wild card position is because of the Toronto Blue Jays.
And the reason why the Jays are in the position they're in is because of the Boston Red Sox.
So thank you to that.
I forget if it was Blake talking about on Jays Talk Plus, but like he was talking about the Cleveland Guardians schedule and if you'd want to play them. Like, they have the easiest schedule. They've just rolled through bad teams. Their division's awful. Like, it's not equal. And that's maybe why there's going to be changes to some scheduling among the other myriad of changes that are happening with MLB. But like, they've had to find someone to pick on in order to make the playoffs because it is so tightly bunched. The Rays, the Yankees, very good. Baltimore, I think they were 8-8 against. Baltimore was tough all season long. They needed to find someone to continuously beat up on. And it happened to be the Boston Red Sox, which is, again, not something I ever thought I'd see.
I do love to see it. That was a pretty awesome weekend if you're a fan of runs. 9-0, 10-0, 6-3. What I liked most about this weekend is this is where you build momentum going into mm-hmm. the playoffs. And I've said it for the last couple weeks at least that the Blue Jays have the ability to control their postseason situation. And with these stringing together these three big wins at home, it looks like they had this, they clinched, and then this team almost had a second wind of we're in the playoffs now. This is what we can bring. Everybody's clicking. Other than maybe Matt Chapman needing to find his own, I feel very confident with where everybody's at right now. And that's exactly what you want with three games left in the regular season and then the potential of hosting your wild card games at home. We often talk about, is there such thing as momentum in baseball? Is there such thing as peaking at the right time? Well, I can't present to you a better situation than what's happening right now.
It's almost like they needed that party. Like when we
seriously,
went off the
air. Seriously, they looked like they just refreshed and came back.
Exactly.
Ready to rumble.
When we went off the air Friday, it was like, okay, coming off the heels of two losses to the Yankees, maybe looked a little bit outclassed, or at least, you know, the moment, the Aaron Judge spectacle, it didn't exactly translate to quality baseball from the Jays. And they're like backing in. They're going to have this like sheepish party. They planned it before because they clinched without doing it on their own. And it's like, how is this going to work? And then they kind of put all that to bed because they went out on Friday night and hammered the Red Sox and they earned themselves that party. Mm-hmm. Then they had that party, which was so, so fun to watch and I'm sure very fun to be a part of. And then it just, the vibes, the good times carried over into just a weekend of all, near perfection. And it's kind of like that's, it's surprising, but it's not because we've seen this roller coaster season up and down when you think it's like, they turn it around and show you what they have. And that's exactly what we saw even to the last weekend of the season, where it started off in this weird situation, mm-hmm. and it ends up with them just absolutely hitting their stride and playing so, so well and showing you and reminding you why they are, if you look at the betting odds, I believe they're third best, to, you know, it's a little longer because of what the Houston Astros are doing, but like the third best team in the American League pretty comfortably, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, right? And they showed that potential again, and they showed that they can be very, very dangerous and that they can beat up on teams when they have an advantage. And they've got to create that advantage for themselves with one more victory and a little help, or two more victories, and that's it. And they have themselves, they earned what could be a massive advantage, at least in the short term. And then again, all bets are off if they get past that point. But it was a really rousing weekend. Like everything that you could, mm-hmm. in terms of like vibes, everything that could happen did happen. And I feel like that means something. Like the bottom of the order going the way they're going.
Big time. They'll have some difficult decisions
beating up on a team
in the next three days of who's going to actually make this postseason roster. But I don't know how Whit Merrifield isn't starting at second base for you.
Exactly. Who's going to play second base?
It's got to be Whit.
Whit has stated his case. And of course, Espinal is like, there's obviously a little injury thing, and he mm-hmm. should be back this week.
But that's
right?
A tough turnaround to get back and get to full
form. But how could you take Whit out
playoff
right now?
Roster.
How?
You can't.
He's setting the table at the bottom. Guys like Danny Jansen are just lights out right mm-hmm. now. And he's in a competition himself, I guess.
You know, and John Schneider has been really good at putting things in the right spot to make them work. And I don't think he's going to care, like, who it is. It's how they're performing. I don't think he's, oh, Espinal's been a part of this team. And he's like, if Espinal's not better than Whit Merrifield, he's going to put Whit Merrifield there. I trust in him to make the right postseason decisions when mm-hmm. it matters. And there's two or three days left to kind of shake that out. We're going to talk to Blake Murphy at 7:30 about how you actually create a playoff roster and what decisions go into that. Are you putting Gabriel Moreno on the roster? How many lefties are you putting in? Which playoff?
Is Bradley Zimmer getting on there?
Zimmer. Like, how do you pick these utility guys?
Is Mitch White getting on there?
How do you
less enthusiasm?
How do you decide which guys make the cut, especially when there's two players coming back from injury and they're pushing that envelope to be ready? I think there's a lot of difficult decisions come, but I don't know how you can't feel that John Schneider is the guy to do that. Everything he's done for the last 3 months, he's pushed the right buttons. The team believes in him. It's like trust in Masai. Now it's trust in Schneider.
Yeah, I'm fully there. I think that was my biggest impression from the party.
He was amazing.
That it was just like, okay, this is the right guy. And it's not because he swore on live TV and like that stuff's endearing. I get all that. I like the Hazel May interview more than anything, mm-hmm. where he's like a little bit emotional, but very sincere. It's kind of the first time you heard him outside of that like podium speak sort of. Mm-hmm. And it's like a similar situation as a media member, it's an interview, whatever. but he felt different in that moment. And then, of course, we get the speech in the locker room where it seems like he just commands respect and attention.
Ted Lasso.
You made that comparison. I mean, I have to watch Ted Lasso to accurately say that that's a good comparison. But like leader of men
leader
type
of men.
Deal, right? Like it seemed like
someone you want to believe in too.
Seems like a guy you want to play for. That's the impression I got.
It's Ted Lasso.
There you go. I think maybe a little different. I don't know if he'd have the same.
You haven't
swearing
seen
on
it,
live
so
TV. Isn't he just like super nice though?
Yeah, but it's how he controls how the team plays for him. There's narratives there. Just let it be. Anyway, but Hazel has the best job and the hardest job, and she absolutely nailed it that Friday night. We got to talk about the party a little bit.
How much preparation do you think has to go into that? Like, she's probably been prepping for it all year.
Like, oh, with Hazel or like the clubhouse?
Because
thing was wrapped in saran wrap.
I didn't realize they had like a nightclub switch.
They have a switch. It's like literally the party button. You press it and it's like boom, 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 boom. Like it turns into a club immediately.
I knew the clubhouse was nice, but I didn't realize they had like the ability to immediately transform
it into
a nightclub.
We need that here. Dan?
I mean, we might have the lighting infrastructure for it.
Like if we hit the wake and rake, all of a sudden we press the party button.
I think that's a good idea. You'll have to stand on the table waving a pirate flag.
Anyway, I thought it was awesome to see the team celebrating like that. I don't know how you can't love Jordan Romano. A cig hanging out of his mouth.
I need to know how you get to cigarettes, though. Like, Victory cigars are a thing, right?
It looked so Canadian.
Victory. And it's like the oldest school cigarette, too, with like the really,
awesome.
The tan filter on it.
Is that what they look like?
Well, not all cigarettes look
like that.
How
many darts are you hacking lately?
I just observe.
You know what cigarettes
dartage.
Look like.
I do.
I thought they all looked like that.
It looked like the type of cigarette you get up north.
Yeah. That was a Timmins.
Like a strong cigarette.
He looked like he was from Timmins in that photo, eh?
Yes. I don't know how you get to that point. I'm fascinated. I want to know the story behind
Victory
cigarettes.
So producer Danielle grinded really hard yesterday trying to get anybody to come on the air that was in that post-game celebration. And I think everybody is scared to say something on the air to share.
That's probably it, yeah.
He tried his best, and we appreciate that. But everyone's like, I don't know if I want to come on and divulge all the dirty details, but I'm sure we'll find out one day. But it looked like a hell of a time. They certainly earned it. To come back on Saturday and win, what was it, 10-0 on Saturday?
It looked really good.
It looked better than even the night before.
Leave it to Strip to be the guy that can handle that situation, I suppose. There was a couple other things from like the celebration, which was nice. Like the Kikuchi interview where it's like people people love Yusei still. They care for him.
He
could easily be an outsider. Like I think he speaks English okay, but like you could easily be ostracized from the group if you're not performing, relegated, don't speak the language that everyone else is speaking. But they seem to like rally around him and like, you know.
I mean, he's probably a wonderful guy.
And we had a Hyunjin Ryu sighting, which was
pitcher.
Great. Like, it's just like a reminder. I mean, he's been in the club or the dugout last little bit, but just like him, like,
it's nice to see
enjoying
him.
A Blue Jays victory and celebrating was something we haven't seen in a while. So there's like little things. There's like little bits of the story that come together when you see like a celebration like that. And of course, this season's had quite a few chapters, some good, some bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, you kind of harken back some memories when you see them celebrating the way they did.
So Blue Jays, three games here starting against Baltimore on the road. The potential to lock in home field advantage basically today. If they win and Seattle loses, boom. They'll be clinching officially home field and then most likely against Seattle, depending on how the next couple games go. We'll give you the quick wild card standings. Toronto up 4 games. Seattle 1.5 games back. The Rays seemingly not really able to make this happen. I mean, there's always a chance for everything, but not sure that is going to be a run between the Rays. There's still technically a chance, but it looks like Toronto and Seattle will play each other, most likely in Toronto, depending on how the next 3 games go for everybody involved. I'll say I was at the game yesterday. Amazing atmosphere. Everyone's dialed in Toronto to be there. Like they know that this is going to be important for the fans as well. It was Fan Appreciation Weekend. Saw a lot of those nice vests walking around.
Is that Saturday?
Big vest guy.
Was that you went Sunday?
Did I went Sunday, but people were already wearing the vest that they got on Saturday to Sunday's game.
How'd they fit?
Yeah, they're a bit loose.
A little loose? A little baggy in
some
spots?
Wear a big hoodie like you are, and then...
It's cold today.
It is cold today. So great weather for a vest. Loved the fan appreciation giveaway this weekend. Fans were... It was 43,877 people at the game yesterday, and it felt like it. Whit Merrifield got a standing ovation, and it shook the ground. People are ready in Toronto. I'm ready. I'm hoping that there's some sort of Rogers employee way to get tickets.
I was going to say, are you going to find your way down there?
Oh.
We can start talking about that now, can we? Maybe not.
I'll do anything to get to a playoff.
Are you willing
game.
To talk about? I mean, they're selling tickets. They're doing all that stuff. So
I think that
you're not the superstitious jinx it type.
If it came down to one game and we were talking about like tonight, they had to win to get home. I would not be talking about getting tickets. I feel like next three games, they'll have the ability to clinch. I don't feel like my words on the radio are going to jinx anything. No. But yeah, I'm hoping that.
Are you going to get down there though? Then
you bet, Justin.
You always find a way.
But the thing I forgot about is with wild card, they decide the times of the game. They're not just 7 o'clock games, so they could play Friday at 1 p.m. Perfect. You go run the beep test.
You want that?
You take a quick shower and we go down to the game.
Sounds pretty good. Yeah. Although I might, you know.
You might need.
I might need.
To stretch nap, for a while. Nap.
IV, something in between there. No, I mean, it's also kind of Mickey Mouse, the 1 p.m. start. It's like, we always have this like complex.
I think they're low down in the rankings of watchability.
However, if it's Seattle, it can't be at 1. Right? They can't do that to Seattle.
Why?
They can't make them. Have
they should
a 10 a.m.
Screw them.
Not even to the Mariners themselves, but to the fan base. And like local TV won't have it, although we get local TV, which is fantastic. But like they couldn't put that on Seattle. Like that's not fair. It might be the late game for that reason then, which might not be fair to the Blue Jays. Either way, you know, you're not getting the prime slot, which is 7, 8. More likely than not, because there are bigger markets in the States that'll get prioritized. But 1 p.m. would be all right. Just feel like if it's Seattle, it's unlikely. If it's the Rays, you could probably book that 1 p.m. slot.
Why do you care so much about Seattle?
I don't care. I'm just saying what the Major League Baseball will do.
I think you're right. Sportsnet's going to have their own postseason broadcast this year.
That's what I'm saying.
With Buck Martinez, Pat Tabler, and Hazel May. Dan Shulman got the big bump for ESPN Radio.
Mm-hmm. Obligations. Which is fine. As long as we got Buck, Pat,
Hazel. Oh, it's going to be amazing. I'm very excited.
We'll have the quality coverage that we deserve.
I was, one last thing I had to ask you in the text line. Yesterday at the game, one row over from me was a failed proposal, which I watched live. Okay, so... I'm sitting in my seat.
No.
This was interesting.
I would have had to leave.
But I don't know. Listen to the story. So I'm sitting in my seat and I look over to the right staircase, which is about, I don't know, 8 seats from me. And there's a lovely man and woman who are walking down the stairs. And there's a camera crew right behind him, like the people that do the video board for the Toronto Blue Jays. And everyone's kind of like, oh, look. And we all look over. And he gives her like a kiss and gets down on one knee. And... everyone's like, oh my God, right? Like, he's proposing. Mm. And then all you see is her slap him in the face as hard as she can, throws her drink on him, and runs up the stairs. And everyone was like,
are you serious?
Okay, hold on.
Was that staged?
Okay,
was it a bit?
Just chill. I was shocked. Everyone stopped talking, and he runs up the stairs after her, and the camera guy's kind of like goes and sits down. And so I'm like, there's no way, like, what just happened? And everyone's trying to like, oh, geez, what happened? And like, nobody knows the answer. Nobody knew who these people were. Long story short, I find the Twitter sleuths, I tweeted this out and everyone was like tagging me and said, oh, look at this video. Apparently it was, he got down on one knee and proposed to her with a ring pop.
Okay. And it could have been a legit proposal though.
With a ring pop, Justin?
It could be. And that deserves a slap, does it not?
Yeah. I guess.
But it sounds like a bit. If the camera crew was there, it sounds like... Was it live on the Jumbotron?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't live on the Jumbotron, which was weird. It was, like, filmed.
Did it ever go to the Jumbotron?
Never. oh, I was waiting. I had my phone out. I'm ready to film this thing. But then I saw videos of it that make it seem that it was, like, fake. But for what? Like,
were they the actual Blue Jays camera
yes.
crew? And it never went to...
Never went anywhere. It's like their social team was asked to come film this proposal
right.
that goes negatively. But we never saw it anywhere. And I don't know what they would be, like, trying to get famous for. Ring Pop? Like, is this a Ring Pop ad? Like, what's the point of this? I never saw it anywhere else. It just, like, it was stupid, but got me thinking, like, how awful.
Maybe the text line could help us out.
I think the text line will have opinions on this. How awful would it be to be proposed to at a live sporting event?
It would have to be the worst.
I can't imagine a place I would rather, get engaged at.
It's the highest risk, lowest reward.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if that's a real proposal, this guy will never live that moment down. And then if it all goes swimmingly, it's like a bunch, like 40,000 people being like, oh, okay, that's great.
Cool.
Then, yeah.
You're like, yay.
Real original, pal.
I can't think of a worse place, though. Like, if I'm thinking about, like, a public proposal in front of 40,000 people on the video board where it's like no sentimental meaning. He's not saying anything nice. He's like, babe, I'm just going, you want to bury me? She's like, yeah. And then everyone's like, yeah.
It's a content play for the Blue Jays.
It is, but it's not sentimental.
No.
Maybe you met your first time ever at the Blue Jays game, but like.
I mean, I get it if it's that too. Like, it could mean a lot to you.
Yeah.
But then just, you know, if you're getting the camera crew, if you're getting the pomp and circumstance, it's for someone else rather than for him or her.
Mm-hmm.
More likely her, I guess. We got to get to the bottom of this.
I would love the text line to weigh in, 590-590. Also, I know people have answers to this. Worst proposal stories you know from like a friend or yourself, like something bad that happened. I just want to read it. It's Monday, okay? Help us out. You don't have to make, it doesn't have to make us feel better, but I just, you know, I know there's some stories out there, all of you listening. Eugene from Woodbridge says it's staged. Certainly felt that way, Eugene. We'll never know for sure.
But there's another part to the staged content, seeing the content somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a postseason bit. Maybe they're going to do something funny.
Really?
For.
I think they missed the boat.
And it's possible. Maybe there's just a lot more production that needs to go into this. Maybe this is a big story.
590-590. Would you rather play Seattle or Tampa Bay? Second of all, proposal stories. Thank you. All right. Yesterday was a full day of NFL action starting at 9 a.m. Did you get up and watch that first game?
Not all of it.
Oh, lazy.
I mean, listen. I have shreds of Viking fandom left, but I don't want to get hurt at 9 a.m. on a Saturday. So I just kind of avoided it. It was casual. The background during the coffee.
Nice.
Did you get up and watch that?
Yeah, I was watching a bit.
Did you have a big bet on it?
I did have some money on it. I wonder if players like going overseas and playing. Like, if that means anything more to them or if it's just, like, a chore.
I feel like it would be fun. I don't think it would be a chore for the players. It's certainly a chore for everybody involved getting stuff over there.
It looks like it does so well, though. Like, the people love it.
And it's surprising that it does so well. And maybe it doesn't do that well because, you know, they just sell out whatever. Like, which is all you need to do. But, like, are people in homes watching it? In London? I doubt it. Especially Manchester United, Man City. The Manchester Derby is happening simultaneous. Mm-hmm.
That's tough.
To the NFL London game. Like, the whole country is watching those two teams play and not the NFL. Mm-hmm. There's no way you could convince me otherwise that it had, like, a drop in the bucket in terms of interest live compared to Saturday, full EPL slate. And not to mention Manchester.
It's a tough lineup to compete against.
But I guess it's like completely different lanes. So they have an NFL lane, they have a, you know, the regular lane.
I also wonder if the percentage of the people in the stands that are from, like, the United States to fly over to view that, or fans that are local from
the UK. Or people that are just living in the UK from North America. There's probably a decent amount.
Yeah.
But it's like they always have... There's so many fans wearing gear.
That's what I was thinking. Like, where are you getting this gear from?
Honestly, it's like they're staged actors. There's a bunch of people. But there's so many. They don't look like different. They don't look like the normal fans you would see at Mercedes-Benz, if it's still Mercedes-Benz in Louisiana. Like, it looks a little bit different. I feel like some of them are actors.
That's a scandal.
And they all have, like, fresh jerseys.
Yeah, they're crisp, like, came out of the box
exactly.
that
they
morning.
All look brand new. And, okay, you can go to get a jersey on your way to the game. I get that. But, like, all of them look brand new. And different names, too. Like, different Vikings. Like, there's a Kirk Cousins and a Jefferson. But there's, like, a 54 and a 37.
You might be onto something, Justin.
I swear they're giving... They're trying to make it look good. I think they should have game there every week, though.
Every week?
I kind of like the 9 a.m.
God.
You liked it. You got up.
Oh, I liked it. But, yeah, didn't really pull too much from my stocks and bills. That was a tough start, I'll tell you that.
I was a little concerned about your bills there.
And I was watching with Rogers Ignite from the ballpark. Shout out Rogers Ignite. And at one point I had to just, that's right, I had to close the phone and the app, just breathe for a bit. But, man, we talked about this last week. One of my biggest concerns about those Buffalo Bills were winning one score games, which they hadn't done. I read that stat to Ross Tucker, and he was like, what? What? And I said they hadn't won a one score game in like years. And they pulled through. They had a comeback win. There's that heart. There's that gritty, gutsy performance. If you're looking for anything to wrap this up in a little bow, they found a way.
Which is obviously important. The dominance of the Bills has dissipated a little bit, maybe figured out slightly, so an adjustment has to come from them. But I guess an adjustment did happen in the second half. Kept Lamar Jackson off the board in the second half. They were down 17. They won the game.
That's right.
It definitely helped that John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, the Ravens themselves, or as a whole, made some serious mistakes. But again, it's kind of the same as Miami in that it's like, it's got to be Josh Allen doing everything.
That's right.
Got to get a running game going. I think Josh Allen was by far the leading rusher for the Bills with 70 yards. So if it's not Allen, it's not happening. But that defense did step up in the second half. The Bills are sort of becoming like, I want them on the main screen over Red Zone. Is my fandom being, am I gaining Bills fandom through osmosis here?
I think so. But also I find sometimes
they are the story though.
They are. And there's been really intriguing matchups for the last 4 weeks.
Yes.
Like they're primetime two times. And then they played the Dolphins.
Which was easily the game of the weekend. They were game of the weekend twice in a row.
So that's why they're front screen for me.
A couple things they got to shore up though. Baltimore too. These look like, they look like two teams that are going to meet each other again. I don't know if it's the AFC Championship game. Pat Mahomes went MVP again last night. So let's pump the brakes on counting them out. But it feels like Buffalo, Baltimore could and should happen again. They are among the selection of really, really good teams. And again, I feel like this happens every year where it's like, are there any good teams in the NFL? Because it is a pretty parity-driven league. But the AFC West sucks. We've gone over this. Like, awful again. Denver, awful. Chargers did turn it around. But in terms outside of Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, I'm not really impressed by anyone else. In Miami, I guess. So we kind of have our small selection of teams in the AFC, and it's even a smaller group, it seems, in the NFC. And we got Ross Tucker on, so we'll talk to him about all that stuff right now, or a little bit later. But for now, like, it seems like Bills, Ravens, and the Bills having got one up on them, obviously important for the future standings and getting home field and number one seeds. Very, very important for the Buffalo Bills. Be nice to see them pick on some weaker opponents because they've had a tough schedule to start.
Couldn't agree more. Monday Night Football tonight, Rams and Niners. We'll set that up with Ross Tucker. But last night, primetime Sunday Night Football, I still can't believe that the line was so heavy. Like, how were the Bucs favorites by the end of the opening lines here? I think they started, it was when I first betted, it was I think minus 2.5 for the Chiefs. It ended up being like plus one.
Almost swung 3 points or something like that. Yeah.
I had no reservations going into it thinking that the Chiefs were going to manhandle that game. Even though the Bucks last minute got a lot of players back healthy.
Yeah, that's what I guess that's what moved the line. I think recency bias playing in too much. Mm. I mean, Bucks have had a tremendous start defensively, and the Chiefs had no problem breaking them down, obviously scoring 41 points. But I guess it was just like the fact that the Chiefs lost to the Colts, who are awful. And it's just like, okay, what is this team? And I think we've had questions about the Bucks all year of what is this team? Are they now just like a defensively dominant group? Which is fine. Like, you can win Super Bowls that way, especially if Tom Brady, a quarterback who can game manage and be the guy who doesn't make mistakes in big games. But they have looked offensively very limited. The Chiefs are going through this like boom or bust thing, but when the boom happens, oh boy, does it happen. But you're right. I think that was your read for sure on our pick aside, which went perfect on both sides.
Yeah, we're going to touch on that before we take a break.
And that allowed us to tie it up. But that was MVP Mahomes type stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like the one thing we didn't talk about is Lamar and Josh Allen. That was the MVP matchup. These are the two front runners for MVP. Let's not forget about Patrick Mahomes. I guess all three of them, to a certain extent, performed pretty well in week four. But Patrick Mahomes was like, had the performance of week four, the ability for him to just find a way, like the flip passes. Like, I was watching the game on mute, and every time I looked up, Patrick Mahomes was doing something insane. That was back to vintage Patrick Mahomes, which is crazy to say because
vintage,
we're only a couple
like
years
five
in.
Years old.
But that's like the stuff where it's like, oh, we have never seen this before. Mm-hmm. We saw all that stuff again, which is probably a good thing for the Chiefs.
Could have been the last time we ever see Mahomes and Tom Brady play each other.
Yeah. We're going to get a lot of those this week, this year. Although Tom might pull a fast one on us again.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like he likes playing football anymore.
I feel like he's definitely conflicted, it seems like.
Majorly.
Don't know exactly what's going on, but the situation could always change with Tom. The wind blows a different way. Maybe this isn't it.
Still threw for 385 yards and three touchdowns, even though he looks like he doesn't love playing football anymore.
He can still ball.
Finds a way. Justin touched on it quickly. We did our debut pick-aside on Friday, where Justin and I versus Josh and Daniele, we all picked three sides, and we all went 3-for-3. So both of us won. A pretty good
debut. This is cumulative, right? So this is, just a perfect start for both teams.
Do we pick something tonight as a tie break?
I mean, I'm down for that. It's hard because we have to, like, disagree.
Or we pick a best bet tonight between us and them.
This is like a whole year thing, though. It's just
I'd like to win.
Or Leafs and Senators both win on, they don't just have a tie.
That's
They don't have a shootout to decide who's top.
I'm more competitive than you. I don't want to just tie
October
the first
10th.
Week.
Okay.
Sets the stage for the rest
Why
of our...
Why don't we do it every Monday then?
Possibly. Well, anyway, we went 3-for-3. Shout out to us. Made you lots of money. We almost hit the Wake and Rake again, but Corner Bet Bob is banned from the show.
That's harsh.
No, we love you, Corner Bet Bob, but your corner bet was...
No, it didn't. It actually started out pretty hot. There was some early corner action. Then the corners dried up quickly. But shout out to you. You 4-1 last week.
Yeah, a 4-1 week. Not a big deal.
In the revamped. I believe I was 3-2.
It's pretty good.
I think our anchors were also 3-2. So a pretty good start all around. We'll continue that, obviously. So send in your anchor submissions. It can be from Monday Night Football. It can be from the Jays and Orioles tonight.
Toronto Maple Leafs play tonight, too.
There's probably like a just $5 Jays clinch tonight thing. I think you could have Bruin. Lots of stuff for the
Wake and
Rake, which may or
you.
May not include a side chosen from either us or Behind the Glass.
And I was on Tim and Friends on Friday night, and I also nailed an NFL best bet.
Now that you're talking about how good the betting week was, why don't you not bury the lead and tell everyone about your big score as well? 8-leg parlay?
Oh, I had a 6-leg parlay.
6-leg, sorry.
Of all sides, nailed that. So things are good. We want to keep that going. So text in 590-590 with your Wake and Rake anchors. Can be from any of the major Toronto-centric sports tonight. We would appreciate that. Text us in. We'll take those all morning until around 8 o'clock, and then we'll put together our three-leg wake and rake parlay in the 8:30 block.
And just before we go to break, shout out to Mackenzie Hughes.
Hell yeah.
Won for the second time on the PGA Tour in a playoff at the Sanderson Farms. Beat Sepp Straka in a playoff. He was dialed in yesterday, and he's a big Leaf guy. If you're watching, you saw his scorebook.
That's right.
He's got a big Leaf logo.
I love that.
He's got the passion, and it showed at an early season PGA Tour event. That'll give him some exemptions. He's going to be hanging around the tour for a long time because that was worth. If you went on the PGA Tour, it's a good, good thing. So Mackenzie Hughes, not that that was really an issue, but he's going to be at all the major events coming up after that victory. So a big win for him. And again, maybe a portends good thing from the Leafs this year.
I like that. He's definitely an A-lister. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We're back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Justin Cuthbert and Ailish. Happy Monday, everybody. Big week of Blue Jays baseball ahead. Been saying that for a while, but this one, the biggest week, could be hosting wild card games. Determining that would be pretty much tonight, I would say. They hopefully will know tonight, maybe the next day. Jays control their destiny, which is what we want. We asked you before, took a break, to send in your wake and rake bets. Keep that coming. Also, I posed the question earlier as worst proposal stories because I watched a couple have a, whether it was fake or not, proposal or got slapped in the face. Text those in 590, 590. I'll sprinkle some of those in the A-list. Roger from the 905. At the CN Tower this weekend, somebody proposed at dinner. Definitely went a lot better. See, that's nicer because it's more of an intimate setting. Like, you're, like, overlooking the city. You can talk to your loved one. Say something nice before you get on one knee, and you're not in the ballpark with the guy going, hot dogs, popcorn. Oh, sorry, let me move over, step on you while you're proposing to spill drinks on you. Yeah. That's a better one, Roger.
It's still a gamble, though. Public's always a gamble.
Well, this is more romantic.
You probably know at that point.
Yeah, who's going to dinner at the CN Tower for fun?
Well,
that's going to be a special occasion. Wow. They must be hitting the wake and rake.
I don't, but, you know, I don't know. That's a different sort of strategy. And if your strategy is CN Tower, I feel like you might have a stronger hold on things.
Here's one. No name, but guy we were with on vacation tried to get one of our friends to serenade. Well, he proposed, and after he proposed, she said yes. He wanted to go play drinking games with the boys, not hang out with her. Tough start to your engaged life. Okay, thanks, hon. Just gonna go play a little beer pong
with the guy who sung to you drunk.
Yeah.
not King, quite a ring
we're gonna
pop,
play King's,
but not
King's Cup. You want to play? It's terrible. One last one. All the dudes right now listening who proposed at a sporting event. Rest in peace. Sorry. Yeah, I kind of threw you under the bus. But if you're still married and you're happy, then you propose to whoever you want, wherever you want.
That's all that matters. Just all that matters.
Not for me. Okay, huge scandal happening right now in professional sports. Need to bring this to light in the A-list. Pro fishing has hit a pivotal moment in their legacy as okay. A fishing tournament in Lake Erie has caught fire because of a pair of winners, potential winners, being caught
and like
cheating.
Repeat winners?
Repeat winners. These guys are legendary
yeah, these
in
guys
the pro
do the thing.
Fishing circuit. Mm-hmm. They were caught stuffing their walleye with lead weights, other fish fillets, and debris to take home prize for the heaviest fish. Apparently these guys are like, there's been a lot of speculation about them in the past. Like people are like, there's no way these guys catch these fish. and they were finally caught red-handed. And there's a video, and I wish I could play it on Twitter from Twitter, and it is absolutely hysterical. But it's every other word is the F-bomb, right. So I can't play it for you, but go find it. It's incredible. Basically, they find out that these two guys are cheating by stuffing their fish with other fish and such, and they are cutting open the fish and pulling out, like, massive lead weights, mm-hmm. pulling out other fish, and the two guys are saying, they're, like, sheepishly, like, they're call the police, this is theft, like, they're going to kick these guys out of any lake you'll ever see in the future. But anyway, massive scandal happening. Now they're looking back at all their previous championship wins to see. There's no way you can tell now. The fish are long gone. Mm-hmm. But we need to bring to light this scandal happening in Lake Erie, just around the corner.
I mean, I was going to say, what's the sporting? Well, there is an easy sporting equivalent. We're seeing Aaron Judge's chase. Mm. I mean, I guess you could make that connection. But, like, what kind of protocols are in place at pro fishing? Like, how could they not figure this out beforehand? Like, if these guys have just, like, some standard-looking fish, size and all that, and they weigh more than everybody else's, is it just, like, a bucket? Like, you're catching so much fish that you can't, like, really look at and inspect what these fish look like when they come out? But, like, do certain fish weigh more than others that are not considerably bigger in size? Like, I don't understand that. If there's any reasonable protocol in place, if there's someone, like, actually looking at the fish that are being caught, how could they possibly get away with this over and over again? I don't understand that. I'm not a fishing guy.
I'm a fishing gal.
You know exactly how this works. So
you pull a fish out of the water, and I'm looking at these, and they're, like, regular-looking walleye, which I've caught many times. You can predict how much they're going to, like,
exactly.
Oh, that's, like, you know, a 6-pound fish.
Yeah, so if the 6-pound looking fish
is suddenly 14 all of a sudden.
Is 14, aren't eyebrows going to be raised about that?
I guess not. And then to look back in history, you know what? I'm going to say their names. Chase Kaminsky and Jake Runyon.
You're having a tough morning.
If you're listening, this story is about you. So it's public news. I got to do my part in the A-list. Anyway,
well, if the crowd had their way, they'd be in jail right now. So maybe
they literally said that these two individuals should go to jail.
And it is theft. I mean, if they've taken home all this prize money over the years, mm-hmm. again, I don't know how much is on the line. If this is, like, really organized, high-level stuff, or is it just a bunch of guys pulling money together?
There's thousands of dollars. At one point, they won a walleye slam for $100,000.
Okay. So if you're giving out $100,000 at one of these events, I feel like the fish should be inspected. And if this guy, what are their names?
Chase and Jake.
If Chase and Jake have the same looking fish as everybody else and theirs weighs double, why aren't there red flags? And if you suspected it, like the others said, why wouldn't you go over and say, hey, let me take a look at that fish, and you hold it and there's a big lead ball in the middle of it.
And they're like, you need to see the size of these lead balls that are coming out of these fish.
I don't know how they fit in the fish. They're huge.
This is a quote from...
So do they catch and then insert a ball?
Obviously. What do you think? They're giving it to them as bait?
No,
they're reeling the fish in and shoving a lead ball down the fish's throat.
And nobody's
noticing.
Nobody catches on this.
And then they cut it open and they pulled out these lead weights. Okay, so quote, they had been accused of cheating numerous times and even failed their polygraph test after they won the fall brawl a year ago.
The fall brawl.
But their attorney saved them from the sounds of it. So these guys are already...
How do you have the audacity to go back and win more money after you fail a polygraph test and everyone thinks you're cheating?
I don't know. We have to keep on the pro fishing beat moving forward. Chase and Jake. All eyes are on you guys.
Nothing's sacred anymore, eh? We can't have a fishing exposition without someone cheating.
You can't.
Sad.
And for all of you listening that are on the history making side of trying to right the wrong, we'll keep that coming. Lake Erie fishing tournaments will be investigated by the Fan Morning Show moving forward. We have Frank Saravelli after the break. We're going to have him every week moving forward. It's the start of the Frank Saravelli era. Then we have Blake Murphy at 7:30, and then our guy Ross Tucker at 8:00. keep your wake and rake submissions coming in all morning. Text in 590-590. We'll get those all lined up to make you some money at 830 block. Let's take a break and talk to Frank. It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.